invite you to keep your Bible open, if you would. We'll be going to look at something else here in just a little bit. Genesis chapter number 1, and we will pick up in verse number 1. Began this morning preaching on the subject, a God on the move. And I want to just repeat what I said this morning. I thank the Lord that we serve a living God, a God that is capable of moving. But even more important than that, I thank the Lord that He's willing to move our direction, and that He is mindful of us, that the sovereign God of heaven knows who we are and knows your worst, knows your best. The Bible says He knows our downsitting or uprising. He knows what we think. He knows our thoughts afar off. The very worst of me, He knows. The very best, when people are looking and when people are not, God sees it all. And yet He still chooses to love us and to make moves toward us. And I want to highlight that more this evening. And again, that's what we're praying for, is a major move from God. And we need that in these days. Before we read, I'll just simply say this. Any move from God toward us is a major move. However, some of God's movements are manifested in different ways. And we need God to manifest Himself in a move that will move us forward, and for the glory of God. So let's begin Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Just leave your Bible open, if you will, and we'll continue and try not to deal with what we dealt with this morning, other than to say we are in, I pray this about every time I pray, Lord, we're in need of help from heaven. Probably every time I pray, I say, Lord, we're in desperate need of help from heaven. And every person in here, saved or lost, whether you realize it or whether you don't, we need God to move personally. We need God to move cooperatively and as a whole with our church, but we need God to move individually. And ain't you glad He will? Ain't you glad God don't need a certain size group, a certain size church? When God came to save you, He didn't wait till 10 or 12 got together in order for Him to make a visit and move your way. No, He moves individually, personally. And what a wonderful truth. But we need God to make a move. As we said this morning, we need God to make a move in our homes, personally, in our marriages, in our homes, in our church, and of course in our town and in our country, and really in the world. And but first things first, before we try to tackle and take on the world, we need to focus on who's in the mirror. that person that you wake up and look at every morning, that person that when you look in the mirror, It's his breath or her breath you smell coming back at you that you have to address in a hurry, hopefully. That person you know best, even better than your spouse or your child, you know you better than anyone except God. And I know me better than anyone. And I'm sure you can find fault in me and vice versa. But I want to encourage us all tonight to let's try to get our mind off of each other and off of everything else. And just for a little bit, try to focus on purpose on the Word of God and on the God of the Word making a move toward you and being willing to let Him speak to you, because God operates through His voice. We'll look more at that in just a minute, but the worlds were framed by the word of His mouth. And so we need God to speak to us and to move our direction. We looked at the pre-existing conditions without form, void, darkness, then the providential choice and how there don't have to be a precedent. There don't have to be anything preceding or anything, any standard per se met. How God does give some standards to be met in order to get God to do some things. The Bible says some comes by fasting and prayer only. So that's a condition. The Bible said, if my people, then. So that's a condition. But there's some things, like the scripture we just read, there was no man pleading with God to move upon the void and the dark. The darkness that there was. God took the initiative. God took the ownership, and God decided, I'm going to step in and I'm going to move. And He did. And so the providential choice, and God moves when He wants, where He wants, and how He wants. And praise the Lord. But then we finished this morning talking about the powerful confirmation. When God moves, it's for a purpose. When God moves, there's a reason behind it. God is not up in heaven just acting haphazardly. God don't wake up one morning and say, well, wonder what we'll do today. No, God don't operate that way. God is very specific. God is very sovereign, and God knows the end from the beginning. And God, when He moves with purpose. And when God moves, things happen. Now, I may move, and not much happens. I have figured out this, the older I get, when I move, certain things happen. This hurts, and that hurts, and this creaks, and that pops. But not God. When God moves, big things happen. And God's a mighty powerful God. When God moves, worlds pop into existence. When God moves, chaos turns into creation. When God moves, dead things begin to live. When God moves, sinners become saved saints. When God moves, people that were headed for hell make a U-turn and are headed for heaven. When God moves, marriages are put back together again. When God moves, anything is possible. When God moves, things happen that would not have happened otherwise. And that's really the whole point and the whole premise of us praying. We're coming together and we're praying and we're burdened that we would see God move in such a way that we've never seen Him move before. That we would see supernatural things. Or don't you ever get tired of just the norm? Don't you ever want more? Don't you want to experience a side of God that you've never experienced before? Don't you want to have God move in your life personally in such a way, speak in such clarity that you can make out what He's saying, that He touches in such a way that you can feel the hand and heart of God, that He touches you in such a way that you will never, ever be the same?
Now, I know He did that when He saved you. Remember? What a life-changing experience when God came to you and touched you and moved on you and your sins disappeared. And He imputed righteousness. He moved your sin out of your account and He moved the righteousness of Christ into your account and made you as righteous and holy as Christ. And He changed you for not just for life, but forever. But I'm speaking about a second touch, a second moving. I'm talking about God can touch you in such a way. God can touch me and desires to touch me in such a way that we'll never be the same Christian again. And some might say, well, I'm satisfied. I like my life where it's... Well, you can enjoy and like your life, but you should desire more. You should desire to be better, more of a Christian. And hadn't you tried? I mean, surely you said, I'm gonna be a better prayer warrior, only to let that turn into a futile thing and fail. I'm going to start witnessing more. I'm going to start reading more, only for that to last a week or two, or maybe a month or two, and then it slide back down in the same doldrum and you become the same person. Wouldn't it be wonderful for God to move on you in such a way that you go to another level, never to recede, never to backslide back down to that person you was? But don't you desire that? Don't you desire for our church to rise to a new level, to experience a different a power that only God can provide? We can. God will. He's able to do that. And we should pray for it. We need God to move. Now, I'm going to pick up and move quicker because I got a lot to deal with. And I said this morning, and I said earlier, sometimes it depends on us. God is sovereign. God is all-powerful. God is omnipotent. He's omniscient. He knows everything and He's all-powerful, but God also give me and you a will. He give us a volition. We're not dogs and we're not cats. We as the human race are made in the image of God, and He made us different, and He's not going to bulldoze over your will. And if you say, no, God, I don't want you to move, then He'll respect that. And He'll be a perfect gentleman and He will back away. But God forbid, we need Him to move. We don't need to say, no, God, no closer. Don't come any closer. Don't look here. Don't speak about that. No, we need to open up the doors to our soul and the doors to our spiritual life and say, Lord, as the psalmist prayed, search me, O Lord. Try me. Try my innermost reins and see if there be any wicked way in me. When's the last time we gave God free rein to come in and look around? When God moves, He moves with purpose and reason. God don't just move for entertainment. And we're living in a world